We're going to be in all different kind of places tonight. We're still talking about the doctrine of divine revelation. But I think the springboard text would be Psalm 119, verse 18. I hope you'll highlight it or underline it in your Bible. Hope you'll memorize it. Hope you'll start praying it before you read your Bible. You know, it would be a good prayer before you come to church or before you come to Sunday school. It says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And the reason I'm using that text just for a springboard is because I learned that that Hebrew word for open thou mine eyes, it's talking about reveal. God, reveal something to me. Reveal yourself to me. Amen. Reveal your will to me. And this is just a brief recap, but we talked about in the doctrine of divine revelation that it was a perfect revelation. The law of the Lord is perfect. And I want to read this quote again from Herbert Lockyer. I believe it's a good quote. He said, modernism is destitute of soul winning because it teaches the imperfection of the Word of God. Honey, I tell you what, I'm not going to teach the imperfection of the Word of God. You can look at a pastor that's not perfect, but I've got a Bible that is. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord, don't you? The Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then, not in this doctrine of divine revelation, it's a personal revelation. And I thank God for that. You know, I wasn't in the car with you, Brother Brian, coming up here, but Jesus was. Amen. And I thank God for how he can just reveal things to us. He revealed, I had two things right here in this part of the outline. He reveals his son to us. Don't forget that. Nobody got saved without God revealing his son to that individual. But then the Bible teaches, Paul said he revealed his son in me. So he reveals his son to us, but then as we live our Christian life, he wants to reveal his son through our life to others. And then it's a powerful revelation. It was powerful in creation. It's powerful in conversion. And then this is where we were Sunday night. It's a progressive revelation. And we're not going to go back over all of that. But I used a little bit of my personal experience in the message on Sunday night. And I went back and reviewed a little bit today just to find out where we left off. And we talked about the call to preach, the call to pastor, and the call to our first church, the call to liberty, the call to Rock of Ages, and the call to Bible Way. And it's a blessing to me just to go back and see how the Lord has led us in our life. God's will and God's work and God's ways are all revealed to us. And I want to give you something tonight that will help you. How many of you realize that we face decisions in our life? And that some decisions are more important than others. But let me say this to you. I told somebody just a week or two ago, I said, I bought a car once without praying. did y'all get that? I bought a car once without praying. And you say, well, why'd you only do it once? Honey, I'm going to tell you something. You know what the definition of insanity is, don't you? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And I learned a lesson. It didn't even make it 30 days, and the transmission went out. Amen. I'm telling you, it's sad, sad. But I believe the Lord, if we will include him in the little things in our life, it'll make it a lot easier when the big things come along. Amen. But I'm going to teach you something that I've learned. About discovering or finding God's will. And God's not, he's not trying to hide himself from us. But he said, you'll find me. What did he say? God just give me this. When you seek for me with all your heart, it's when that heart turns towards him and says, God, I need some help right here. I would to God that young people would seek God's will as far as a mate. Somebody to marry, somebody to date, amen. There ought to be somebody seeking God's will, amen. And then I've seen people change areas or change jobs and never even look into it. Is there a church in that area? Is there a good fundamental Bible believing church? I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what I'd do if there wasn't? I'd start one and say amen. I'm just telling you, we got to have that, don't we? Amen. And so two things are going to happen when the Bible is approached as a whole with confidence that it is the infallible Word of God. Here's what's going to happen. Number one, there's going to be a greater appreciation of its truths. Listen, I appreciate the Bible more today than I did the day God saved me. Amen? Because I'm growing. And then not only will there be a greater appreciation of its truths, but there will be a closer walk with our Redeemer. I say this tonight. I believe it's true. I don't believe we'll ever be any closer to our Savior than we are to this book. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You drop on down to verse 14 in John 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the living Word of God. Amen? And the Bible is the written Word of God. We're going to get into the doctrine of inspiration after, if we can ever get through this. Amen? The doctrine of revelation, which means it's God-breathed. Every word of God was breathed by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I'll give you this tonight. I didn't mean to get on that, but years ago I learned about Peter Ruckman and the Ruckmanites. And what the Ruckmanites believed was is that the writers of the King James Bible were inspired. I don't believe that. Did you hear what I said? I don't believe that. I don't believe God, holy men of God of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then God come on a little bit later, moved on another group of men to write the Word of God. But here's what I do believe. Out of the original tongue, the Hebrew and the Greek, God preserved His Word for the English-speaking people right here in this old book. Amen. That's what I believe, and I'll stand on that. Amen. He said to every generation. So if we got our Bible in English in the late 1800s, something was wrong between the early 1600s. And let me ask you a question. Did God know that it'd be the English-speaking people that'd be evangelizing the world? Would He leave us with a corruptible seed to try to evangelize the world with? No, it's an incorruptible seed. It's the precious Word of God. Now, Paul said, not as though I'd already attained or already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. That word perfect there is not talking about sinless perfection, but maturity. And the Bible said, talks about babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. But the Bible talks about we ought to grow up and we ought to want some meat. Amen. And Paul said here, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Now watch this now. He said, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God, here's the word, shall reveal this even unto you. And I wrote something in the margin right here. When Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, we know there's two things at least that he was not talking about. He wasn't talking about his sinful past. You say, how do you know he wasn't talking about that? Listen to him preach. He said, look up here. Right here's the chiefest of sinners. Amen. You don't talk about sinners? Here's the chief. You don't talk about saints? He said, I'm less than the least. That's the way Paul, that's why I love him. Amen. I love that line in that song, Brother Brian, unworthy. Glory to God. Amen. I worry about people who think they're worthy of God's blessings. Amen. But I tell you, in and of ourselves, we're unworthy. Amen. But aren't you glad He clothed us in a robe of righteousness and made us worthy as a son of the living God. Amen. But he wasn't talking about his sinful past, and he wasn't talking about his conversion, forgetting those things. Every time he got up to preach, amen, he spit her out, amen. I believe when Paul talked about that thorn in the flesh, I believe it's very possible that it was the revelation. Are you listening to me?
You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, he had that disease, that eye disease, ophthalmology. They call it, his eyes bulged out. And he said, but listen, God called him up into the third heaven. And he saw things, he said, that were not lawful to be uttered. He comes back down here to earth, and God wouldn't let him tell it. Now, what would you do if you were the devil? I tell you what I'd do every time that preacher got up, I'd be a-gouging him. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Because God said, if you tell it, Paul, they're going to make a god out of you. They're going to worship you. Amen? But Paul said it was a thorn in the flesh, and he said that, I besought the Lord three times to take it away, thrice, and God said, no, I'm not going to take it away, Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I say, there is a reason I don't think we know for sure what the thorn was, because that way grace fits any thorn you got. Glory to God. Amen. Don't matter what the thorn is, the grace is sufficient. And so we're talking about this progressive revelation. God don't show it to us all at one time. But I tell you what, if you'll read this in its context in Philippians chapter number 3, I'll tell you what I believe Paul was talking about, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to his worldly successes. He said, well, we talk about all of his education. He said, I count it but dung. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, he had certificate after certificate on the wall, but he said, that's not where it's at. Amen. It's not in my certificates. It's in my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul was saying, he's teaching us here that it's progressive. He's not attained yet. And there's some examples of it in the Scripture. I have one example that I went back to in my own life. I got hung up years and years ago on something called Lordship Salvation. Now listen to me. Listen, I'm going to teach you something right here. And what that kind of that thought, that train of thought was you can get a Savior, and then later on, you make Jesus Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't make Jesus nothing. And if you get a Savior, you get a Lord. Amen. Now, you can cooperate with Him, and things will go real good. But if you get a Savior, you're going to get a Lord. The Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you don't cooperate with Him, it ain't going to go good. Amen. Because He loves His children. He'll rebuke and He'll chasten His children. And so I got hung up on that. You need to make Jesus Lord of your life. You don't make Jesus anything. He is Lord. Amen. When you get a Savior, you get a Lord. Amen. The Bible said He begins the will and the do of His own good pleasure. I like what Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He, which hath begun a good work in me, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is just continually growing. Now, some examples of a progressive revelation. If you take the Holy Spirit, let's say in the Old Testament, yep, you remember David said in Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Would that be something for somebody to come to this altar and pray tonight? No. No. Why? Because you're in a different economy. In that Old Testament economy, the Old Testament, the Spirit's ministry was outward and it was intermittent. The Spirit of God would come on a man and empower a man, and then the Spirit of God at times would leave that man. You understand what I mean? But now what did the Bible say about us? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day you mess up. Is that what it said? Nope. Until the day of redemption. Amen. And so God, He gives us that progression from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Now listen to me. Jesus said this. He said, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. Now watch this. He said, my Father is greater than I. You need a progressive revelation. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, what do you do when you go down to John chapter 10, verse 30? I and my Father are one. He said, my Father is greater than I. In other words, you can't take one verse of Scripture. The Bible said that we're to take the whole counsel of God. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And yet in one place He said, my Father is greater than I. as a servant in his humiliation. I want you to listen to this. This will help you. I circled these words because I never saw it before until I got to studying about divine revelation and being found in fashion. Does anybody know the next three words? Does anybody know the next three words? You know what, Brother Brian? As a man. Honey, you'll never understand the Bible if you don't understand that Jesus is a man and Jesus is God. All at the same time. You see, I'm just trying to help us tonight to see the importance of this. Jesus, the Bible said he was weary on his journey and he sat thus on the well. You can go to Isaiah, I think it's chapter number 40. God don't get weary. God don't get tired. So they'll say, well, he's not God. Oh, yes, he is. But he was a man. Amen. Listen to this. The Bible said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You remember the temptation in the wilderness? How many remembers? How many believes that's real? Okay. Well, if you go over there to the book of James, I think it is, it says God doesn't tempt a man with evil. Neither God cannot be tempted with evil. And there are people that will take those texts like that. They'll say there ain't no way Jesus was God. There ain't no way Jesus is Lord. But I'm going to tell you something right now. They're not taking the whole context. They're just picking and choosing what they want to. And so God is revealing himself in his word. Amen. I want to help you tonight when you need an answer. When you need an answer and you're not sure about a decision that needs to be made. Whether it be a move or a job or whether it be buying another house or building on anything, you just need an answer. I'm going to tell you something that's helped me. This has probably been the last 20 years of my life. I probably learned this 20 years ago. Now, I'll tell you what, before I learned it, it goes right along with this. You know what I do? I pray about things. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you, a good barometer when you're praying is peace. Honey, I know the peace of God when it comes on me. Amen. And when you've got peace, proceed. Amen. But if you don't have peace, you better hold still. Amen. That's a good barometer. But let me tell you what I learned about the Word of God. Brother Coulter's in Alaska, 44 men saved because he practiced what I'm about to share with you. When you don't know what to do, when you're not sure about a direction in your life, you need to approach the Word of God. But listen to me carefully. I think Brother Grizzle said this over and over. The answer is in this book. But listen to me. You cannot approach the Bible leaning one way or the other. If you think about a transmission on a car, you can't have it in reverse and you can't have it in drive. You've got to have it in neutral. Are you listening to me? Now, if you don't, you can find, I don't know if I can recall exactly, but somebody talked about playing Bible roulette. You know, just you turn, put your finger on a verse, and turn, put your finger on a verse. And let me see if I can remember how this went. It said, somebody put their finger and said, Judas went out and hanged himself. Oh, I don't like that. Said, go thou and do likewise. I don't like that. What thou doest, do quickly. Amen. I don't think that's the way to find the will of God. Say amen. But I tell you what, if you need to know something, it's precious to me. You cannot approach it with your mind made up, even leaning one way or the other. How many's ever had God to speak to you from His Word? I'm telling you, buddy, it's precious, amen, to know that God can take this book and it's still alive in 2025. Amen. Boy, that'd be a good message when it's still alive in 2025. Amen. But He can speak to your heart. He can lead you. He can guide you. And that's what He wants to do. Amen. I encourage you to do that. Let's go to the last thing. Try to see if we can get through this tonight on the doctrine of divine revelation. The last thing I want to give you in this one thought about divine revelation is it is a prophesied revelation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? What it means is that God tells us ahead of time something that's going to be revealed in the future. And You know, that's why we know, don't we? Israel's going to make it. Somebody say amen right there. Honey, listen, I believe we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When you're doing that, you're praying for the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. But listen to what Paul said. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. That shall be revealed in us. God has already determined. Listen, let me turn to Romans chapter 8 real quickly. This is precious to me. Romans chapter 8, I believe, is where we're going. I believe that's right. Romans chapter 8. And we love this verse, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow. That means that there were a lot of people shocked the night I got saved, but it didn't shock God. Say amen. In His foreknowledge, He knew before the foundation of the world. The Word of God said here, for whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. Let me just give you this real quickly. Predestination has nothing to do with the sinner. Predestination is the doctrine. Well, I don't know if we'll get into that or not. But anyway, it has nothing to do with the sinner. Whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son. That's us, youngins. It's already determined, amen. Watch this now. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, look at this, them He also glorified. In the eyes of God, it's as good as D-O-N-E done. Amen. Finished. Amen. Now, I know He's still working on us, but in His heart and in His mind. There's songs like, Won't It Be Wonderful There. I already had this in my notes, and it's in Sister Margaret's funeral arrangements. She already left her arrangements, what she wanted, amen? And so that was one of the songs. Won't It Be Wonderful? How you know it's going to be wonderful there? I got a book. Great. Glory to God. It is a divine revelation. It reveals what's coming in the future. And there's songs like, What a Day That'll Be. Songs like the choir sings, It'll Be Worth It All When We See Jesus. You say, how in the world do you know it's going to be worth it all? I got a book. Amen. And God reveals that to us in His book. A day when there's no more pain and no more sorrow and no more death. For the former things are passed away and all things become new. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'm going to a city where there's no electricity. Because the Lamb's the light thereof. Amen. How you know that? Oh, I read it in a book. God reveals Himself in prophecy. Amen. He's telling us to keep your chin up and keep looking up because our redemption's drawing nigh. And to you who are troubled, this is what Paul said. He said, rest with us. I said this to the family today. I said, it's been a long time since Sister Margaret rested. But honey, you can mark her down. The Bible said, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. Amen. Those who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, you really believe He's coming? How many believe that tonight? You know why you believe that? Because of a divine revelation. Amen. That ain't something somebody made up or thought up. Amen. It's the Word of God. Who are kept by the power of God. Listen to this now. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed. You say, Pastor, I thought you was already saved. I am. Two-thirds. My body has not been saved yet. Amen. You see, there's a blood blister right there. When I was hooking the trailer up the other day, I tell you, I feel so dumb sometimes. But I got my finger in the wrong place, and it pinched a blood blister on me. And I didn't say hallelujah, and I didn't say praise the Lord, but thank God I didn't say what I used to say. Amen. Amen. Kept by the power. There's a salvation ready to be revealed. Let me ask you something. Are there some in this room that find it hard to remember the last time you didn't ache? Is there anybody like that? John, you like that? You don't ache, John? John, you lying to me, John? I got some work to do tomorrow down at the house, John. He's aching now, ain't he? Amen. 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 But I tell you, there's a salvation ready to be revealed. The Bible said weeping endures for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. You say, how do you know that? Because God said it in His Word. The Bible said, but rejoice inasmuch you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I'm not going to take a lot of time right here, but I got to tell you, in case you ain't heard it, about that dream I had. It's been probably a year ago now. And I had that dream that night, and there was Jesus. You couldn't see any particulars, just the form of a man and a glow. I mean a glow all the way around him. There was a mountain chain, Brother Brian, and there he was. And I was ascending with peace that I cannot describe. Usually when there's nothing under your feet and you're falling or you're in the air, you're all tore out of the frame. And I remember this about the dream. I wanted to look to my left and I wanted to look to my right because I knew if others were going, this is it. But I couldn't. I could not take my eyes off of Him. And then I woke up. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I've asked God to let me have that dream again. I'm telling you what, you wouldn't believe. Honey, if it's anything like that, you just wait. Amen. I tell you, the Bible said here, His glory is going to be revealed. And that you may be glad also with exceeding joy. The elders which among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, this is more than just a catchy phrase. God's youngins, the best is yet to come. I promise you, the best is yet to come. And it wouldn't surprise me. Now, I don't put a lot of stock in dreams. Are you listening to me? Sometimes dreams come because of beans and stuff like that, cornbread and fried taters, amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you have a dream that's contrary to the Word of God, can it? But if you have a dream and it's not contrary to the Word of God, cherish it. Amen. I thank God tonight. We're headed home, youngins. I thought about today when I heard about Sister Margaret. I thought about those right here from Bible Way in just 12 short years that have entered heaven's gates. Boy, it's going to be a reunion, Brother David. It's going to be awesome. Amen. It's going to be awesome. The next time we see them, I can tell you about another dream I had. I actually dreamed two or three times about a man. But I'll just go ahead and tell you like this. Every time I saw him in a dream, he had both legs. Every time. Thank God Almighty. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. Wonderful there. Well, I'm going to shut her down right there. We've got to have a business meeting.